Hello, cancer friends. My name is Kathy Hannes. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad you are here today. If this is the first time you're listening to Hello Cancer Friends, this is a place for friends that have been touched by cancer to come together, share your story, listen to others. We're here for each other. You should never have to be alone if you've been touched by cancer. Well, I'd also like to say Happy New Year. It's the first episode of 2024. Happened so fast. I can't believe it's 2024, but it is. And we are coming in hot with a great new friend that I met on social media. She's been captivating me for some time now, and without giving too much away, she's just an all-around wonderful human being that I've come to admire a lot. I'd like to introduce you to Anne. Oh my gosh, Anne, hello and welcome to Hello Cancer Friends. Thank you for coming and spending some time with us today.
Great. I'm so excited to be here and to be able to kind of share my cancer journey and where I'm at today and, you know, how God's really helped me kind of move through all that. Faith is a big part of my journey with cancer and, you know, just kind of really take away a positive side to it that, you know, no matter kind of what you're going through, and every cancer journey has its ups and downs for sure. But that we don't do it alone, you know, and, and cancer can be very isolating. Even with family and friends around, it can feel very isolating. But God definitely is walking with us every step of the journey, I believe. So that's what we want to get into.
Oh, well, you know, I can't agree with you more. I felt the exact same way when I was laying in bed about 4 years ago. I was in big trouble in my journey. It was a point where I had accepted my fate, and you know, God is what took me through that. And I don't say this a lot. I don't want to sound like not thankful that things turned around for me, but I was so prepared for meeting God. I was a little disappointed. There's part of me that was like, wait a minute, I was ready.
Right.
But that day will
come.
The
work wasn't done. The work wasn't done.
The work was not done. So tell us your story, whatever you like to share, whatever you feel comfortable with. You know, as you know, obviously, I've been watching you on TikTok and your videos are just so inspiring. They are so funny. You are just so beautifully unique to me. And I look forward to hearing from you all the time. And so thank you for sharing such a huge piece of you online. But, you know,
well, thank you so much for that. No, no problem. Thank you so much for that, Kathy. Yeah. So I started social studies teacher mama 22, like when I got the whole, it started actually back in the pandemic era, because I think a lot of teachers were very isolated and we were going through such hard stuff that there really wasn't a way to connect with other teachers. Particularly in my state, we stayed closed for about a year or so. And so there wasn't a lot of conversations going on. I mean, yes, we were getting on Zoom and things like that, but it was really kind of heartwarming to see, oh, you know, someone in Georgia is going through this, or someone in Texas or whatever is going through the same thing, you know, everything from the student side, kids not wanting to wake up in the morning and get online, or, you know, things like all these little things you were dealing with. Because despite contrary belief from the public, we were educating every day, working hard. And in fact, my district did a survey. We were working 72.5 hours a week during that time frame.
Oh my gosh.
So my story kind of begins there with the cancer journey, as I was working from home, which many in the public thought, oh, teachers are just having this great time,
Right.
just like this is great. But I was staying up hours and hours and hours, and you had to back plan everything. And I teach high school history. So the prep on the backhand side was so heavy to have everything just roll like you would be in the classroom, but you weren't. And that was the expectation because admin would come in and they would want to see exactly your lessons and make sure they were great and fancy and all that. But I started to become so fatigued through that process. And it got to a point where it was very abnormal fatigue, where I usually can kind of pull myself together and get there for the kids, and I'm good to go. And I've done that for years and years, and I have three kids of my own. But I just was struggling very, very hard. Now, prior to 2021, I had for years, I had irritable, what they said was irritable bowel syndrome. I was in and out of digestive health. Ironically, digestive health never found anything. I was tested for celiac disease, get you off dairy, maybe you're allergic to gluten, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And I do test after test, scan after scan, and years and years of this kind of repetitive process went on until literally my regular doctor was like, well, maybe it's stress. You have your
Oh, boy.
teacher after all. It's stress, and your mom, and you're busy, and it's all this. So, I had an episode where I know this might be a little TMI, but we are
That's
cancer
okay.
friends
We are cancer friends.
and
Let it out.
cancer friends, a lot comes out when your body's going haywire.
Yeah,
But I
for
was
sure.
started to bleed out my backside, and I was like, this is so abnormal. And then I was panicking. I was like, why is this happening to me? Went to the doctor. They're like, oh, it's because you've had three kids and it's a hemorrhoid, like, so I was like, at that point, I was just in my early, 40s. I was like, what's happened? Everything's falling apart. Like, and just kind of this continual blow off, just kept going, kept going. And a lot of people, because I'm stage four ovarian cancer, and so I've had a lot of people say, well, you must have not gone for those annual checkups, and you must have not, made sure your female health was in check. No, people, I went. I did my, I'm a teacher. I checked the box on everything in life. I'm a rule follower. So I did all of that. And they never once gave me a transvaginal ultrasound. That's the first thing. And I never once had a CA125 cancer marker screening done. And those two things would have immediately red flagged what was going on, despite years and years and years and years of this. So by the time I hit 2020, 2021, the pandemic's going on, all of this, everything really kind of came to a head, if you will. And so July 2021, the year ended. Ironically, I went for a physical in May of 2021, which they said, you're fine, you're fine. Again, it's the pandemic. It stressed you out. And I just kept laughing through this in a weird way with my husband. I'm like, I guess I got more stress again. It causes
Right.
all these problems. It's
Isn't that
all in my
something?
head. Yeah, it's all in my head. And so we love to hike as a family, and that's a very Pacific Northwest thing to do. I swear, we look like we're going to REI every other day, putting stuff in our coats. And so
Sure.
we were hiking just a regular Saturday in the Pacific Northwest, and I could not finish the hike. And we always did, like, as a family, like 7, 8 miles a day. We were like pretty cool up there hiking up. And so we were in Eastern Washington at the time, and it was around 4th of July weekend. And this was supposed to be a 14-mile hike. In the middle of it, I was like, I can't breathe. I was like, I cannot breathe. I was like, we gotta stop. Like, everybody, we have to stop. I can't, there's something, I just can't push through this. I'm like, I have to turn around. And I was sitting there and I was trying to catch my breath and I kind of caught it back. And I was like, you know, maybe it's just the stress. I've just been so exhausted this year. I'm like, that's it. This is all I can do. And we got back off of the side of the mountain. And of course, in total teacher, total teacher mindset here. I even made a TikTok about it. Like, sometimes I laugh at it now. Like, sometimes it doesn't matter if you finish the journey, it's about the growth. And I laugh at that because I'm like, what an idiot. Because it was way beyond a little experience and pushing through. It was more than that.
Oh
The
my
next
God.
day, I was still struggling. I was like, really, it just was heavy and like, what's going on? And the pain in my back on the backside was extreme. I go to an urgent care and they kind of feel around a little pokey poke and they're like, you pulled a muscle.
Oh boy. Of course.
It's like,
Oh.
I don't know where these people get their medical degrees, but it's interesting all the different things that they will say you have, but it's not what you have at all. And so, you know, 2 days after that, I was in the ER. I was in the ER. I go to the ER and I knew in my heart that life was going to change forever. I really, really felt it. I hugged my kids before I drove myself down there in the morning. And I was like, I love you guys so much. If I don't come back, that's how bad I felt. I was like, if I don't come back, you know, I love you forever. And I'm like, Jesus will take care of you. And, you know, this is something is more wrong than has ever been wrong in my entire life.
Oh
I
my
go
God.
there. Yeah, they came in and doctor's like, hey, he's like kind of, you know, does the like chop chop in the back. And I'm like, and he says, to me, you know, you're young. This is just a probably kidney infection. It's what you got going on here. And it's probably only going to take about 3 hours, but are you sure you want to stay here 3 hours? Like trying to almost make me go home. And I
Oh
was
my
like,
gosh.
if it's a kidney infection, I probably should stay here 3 hours. So yes, I'm going to be here. And he's like, I'll throw in a CT scan, you know, for some extra measure, but I think that's what you got. So yeah, just relax. We'll hook you up. Everything will be good. Go through the CT scan. And I come back. All of a sudden, there's an X-ray that happens. There's more labs that happen after that. I get an ultrasound of the back area of my lung, and then a transvaginal ultrasound, which should have happened years ago. Okay. Then there's the moment, the defining moment that, and it's a pandemic, so nobody can be in there with you. I have no family. It was totally isolating. The lights were off even. The doctor like whisks the door open. He comes in there and goes, I see you're a teacher. I'm going to shoot it to you straight. You've got some kind of stage 4 cancer. Could be uterine, could be ovarian at this point. And you probably only have about 3 to 6 months to live. I'm really sorry, but you should probably call a chaplain. And that was it. That was it. And then he shut the door.
I'm hugging you from across the country through this Zoom call.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
How it went down. That's how it went down. And I, in that hour before anybody connected with me, laid in the darkness. And it was me and Jesus. Me and Jesus. And everything changed in just one New York second. It was life altering moment. And it was me and Jesus right there. And I was initially just almost couldn't get the prayers out that I wanted to say, because it was just so life altering in that moment. And so I know that the Holy Spirit prays through us when we need it. And the only thing I could say was, Jesus, I love you. That's what came to my mind was, Jesus, I love you. And I just kept saying, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. And I knew that he loved me also. And that love was gonna carry me through. You know, and I was just crying. Just crying, 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 crying. About 20 minutes later, a chaplain came. A chaplain came. Because the before he left, he's like, call chaplain. I'm like, can you call the chaplain? I don't
Hey, help me out
release
here.
that. Yeah, if this is your suggestion, can
Jeez.
you please do that? So one did come in there and they said, you know, they're like, you know, what's your relationship with God? What's your status? And I'm like, I think we're good. it'll get better. And that's where I say that also that cancer has been the most devastating thing ever, but there also is a blessing to cancer. Because Lord is very close to those who are suffering, and
It
can,
gave me goosebumps
yeah.
because I can't tell you. The next thing I knew, I was Googling old hymns that when I was a kid would hear in church, and I was just listening to them all over again. And I dove in 100%, and it felt so good. It was the relief I needed. And so,
There's a weird blessing to it in that he is close to those who are brokenhearted. He's close to those that are suffering. It's very much the Simon of Cyrene experience that you're gonna carry this. You're gonna carry this cross, but it's arm over arm, you know, walking the road of Calvary, and you're not alone. So it was life altering in that moment. And that hour alone and then with the chaplain kind of set the road forward before all the medical chaos. And you know yourself what that involves of the tests and more scans and more people talking to you. And you got 3 months. No, you don't even have that. You have this. You don't have, you know, just going on. And I got hospitalized that night. I was in very bad shape. I had like my cancer markers were in the thousands. I had a they found a tumor mass on the lower side. It had spread across my intestines. And why I couldn't breathe is I had a pleural effusion in my lung, which that has been the battle of battles on and off continuously since the time of diagnosis. But after that, then I met with a gynecological oncologist when I was in the hospital. He was a little creepy, and then I was laying there and I woke up and he was sitting there. I was like, oh, hello, who are you, sir? And he's like, hi, I'm sorry about the bedside manner of the ER team, but we can do something here. That's and I like, okay. I was like, that's an answer to everything that I prayed. And so God had already taken it over. He had taken it over. And so from there, it was the frontline process of disease of the, you know, 3 months of chemo, then a massive, massive surgery, sternum to pubic bone incision, open you up like, you know, the Christmas turkey, and then take everything out. And you're just wake up like, I have been split. This is great. And then try to get through all that, you know. And
I
then
love your humorous spin to all of this, by the way.
I mean, what are you gonna do, right? It's just like
I
we're
know.
just life. And so it was funny because, you know, then they give you things when you've had those horrible procedures, like, do you want pain medicine? Or and like That just adds. It just adds on to the layers. I remember that first day after surgery, which it was humorous. And the fact that I felt like I went in and out really fast. First, I give this as a tip for anybody that's going to go through something really tough or have a big procedure. When you're, it's not humanly natural to us to say, "Oh, I just have surgery. It's going to be fine." That humans, we're afraid of procedures like that, and it's okay to be afraid of procedures like that. But I took a pin, and I the Isaiah 43:2, that you will walk through fire, but you will not be burned, like waters will not overwhelm you. I wrote it on the inside of my hand. And so when I went under, I could hold that verse, but also it started a conversation, which God used so much, because when they were putting in my IV, they're like, "What's this? You know, you
Sure.
marked up your whole hand over here." And I
Yeah.
was like, because I'm taking God with me, which then made the nurse and the IV team feel comfortable. And they're like, "We're going to pray with you right now." And like,
Oh.
I was like, "Oh my God, you're so awesome." And I was only under the knife for 3 hours, which it's usually much longer. And it was kind of a miracle, because by the time they got in there, they were able to get everything really fast, and they didn't really find a whole lot at that time. So the chemo had miraculously frontlined to get everything shrunk down, which was great. But then my surgeon went home. didn't talk to me when I woke up.
Oh,
So
wow.
I remember waking up, and when I was out of the grogginess, I called my sister, and I go, "What happened to my body?
Yeah,
Can
right? Oh, my
you
God.
tell me if you talked to him, and what happened here?" Because
Right.
such a shock to go through procedures like that. So eventually made it back, and then 3 more months, and January 2022, I still had a tiny little bit of pleural effusion on that right lung, but everything else was clear. But
Oh,
I
amazing.
asked about that, and I said, "Hey, those are like cells sitting down. Is there any?" He's like, "Oh, it's fine. It'll be taken care of by your maintenance medicine, and things are good. Things are good." Until they weren't, because April 2022, it all came back, and it started again on that lung. And that's metastatic disease, is very, very tough to deal with. Ovarian is a beast, because it continually comes back. And so it's like a chronic condition. It's low volume, high spread. It's hard for them to even see it, really. And then they kind of don't want to keep treating it all the time. If your numbers are rising and you know stuff's going down, this like, "Oh, it's just a number, don't worry." And you
Oh
know it's
boy.
what it will manifest itself into. So my oncologist at the time was awesome through frontline. My surgeon was great through frontline. They know frontline. But here's my tip for women going through ovarian cancer, is that I wish I would have started off at a specialty center with a gynecological oncologist, because they know frontline. But with ovarian cancer, because it's continually on and off and on and off, you have to really be with a specialist that understands the process of disease with ovarian cancer. And I highly recommend to any woman that finds themselves in this situation to get yourself under a gynecological oncologist, because this is where it all started to derail very much for me. Even though God's strength did show up through April 2022, all the way to December of 2022. Those months were terrible. It comes back. You know, they try chemo here. They say you're platinum resistant, meaning the platinum based chemos aren't working. make your funeral plans. You're not going to live. Life is over. And then my lung just started filling. I was getting every week thoracentesis, which is like the worst procedure you could ever imagine, to constantly be putting in your lung drain after drain after drain after drain. And it was just a continual, you don't have long time, this is over. And what I want to say is that always seek a second opinion. Again, get to an expert, because I think, and I've seen this with my other Teal sisters that we've lost online as well, which makes me super angry, is that a general oncologist, because they just kind of know general cancers and the trend of things, they are very negative and very fatalistic with us ovarian sisters, right? We're the silent killer. And you know that as a pancreatic patient too, and that silent killer disease, that, oh, your timelines are short and you just got this amount of time. It's not true if you can get under people that actually understand and know the disease and what they're working with. So that went on for months and months at my local center like this, and didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. So I got to a point where I'm like, I need to go big or go home. So August 2022, I went to Sloan Kettering in New York for a consultation. And it was at that time that I was with the brain trust on this at that point. And she's like, hey, hi. So here's all your options. Gave me a buffet of options, where local doctors like, it's done,
Oh my gosh.
it's over. She's like, you still have all these, and these are just standard lines. You still have all these standard lines of chemo to be able to treat. I was like, Jesus, thank you. It was a miracle I got there. And of course, the devil threw a wrench in it. We got COVID while we were there.
Oh
I
gosh.
got two blood clots.
Oh no.
And so it was crazy. And so, but I came back with that information and I presented it to my local oncologist, because he could order any of those. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. He goes, because it's already over for you. Like, great. So I knew at that point I had to switch. This is
Yeah,
not,
for sure.
you go to a national center, they're like, da, 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 da. And he's like, nope, done, lights out.
Wow,
Yep.
that is just unbelievable.
Yep. And God was moving all this time, writing straight with crooked lines. And so at that point, our closest, because there's 71 national cancer centers in the United States that are federally funded, which is a huge difference from your local cancer center. If you can get to an NCIS as soon as possible if you have ovarian cancer, because one, it's going to take a while to get in there. And I got on the wait list, which took me all the way to January to get
Oh,
in. So
wow.
by Christmas of 2022, I was told that there was no other option for me. I'm dying. My abdomen had now started to fill with ascites fluid. That was last year's Christmas, was horrific. And I finally got into the University of Washington in Seattle, under an actual gynecological oncologist that then is doing the treatment process and specific to ovarian cancer. And she tried just a regular standard line of chemo. This is nothing fancy. And it worked. And it worked. And I got all the way, brutal. These treatments are brutal. But I got all the way down by May of last year to like a C125 of 9. And I
Oh my
was like, holy Jesus, Jesus, this
Yeah.
is all you. This is all you. You've opened the doors. You provided the medicine. You've cleared ways for me that I did not know I can. I praise you. I praise you in the storm. And that's the hardest thing when we hear about Job, for example, and what he went through. It's hard for us to conceptualize going through losing your wife and your kids and all these things that happen to him when you read that biblical text. And when you're having your own Job experience itself, to continue to praise God, to continue to praise God. But I highly encourage, even if you don't feel that way, to do it, because God really blesses that. Because when you're praising him, it's complete surrender that he has it. He has it in his control, and we can trust that. And so the blessing comes through that. So I got in there and it worked. And I went to a Pentecost service last May, and I was like, it's my favorite time of the year after Easter. And I was like, really praising the Lord. And someone prayed over me, and this was the ironic part. They said, God is just telling me that the best is yet to come for your life. I was like, yes, Jesus, so awesome. I want to preach and share this testimony. I'm almost there. I'm almost to remission. The next day, I got hit by a car. Yeah.
I remember that. And yeah. I could not believe my eyes and ears that after all you've been
all
through.
All that, right? After all that. And so the car
gosh,
went red light on the way to work. I was 6:30 in the morning driving to my high school kids after Memorial Day weekend. I had no idea that life was going to drastically take a complete U-turn in that moment. It was, stopping at the ramp to go on to the freeway to drive towards my school, which is 35 minutes out from me. Everyone here in the Pacific Northwest commutes everywhere. We all have 40-minute drives, 30-minute drives. Like, this is kind of the way it is. And so right at that thing, here comes an 80-mile-an-hour car as I surge forward, and he completely blows the red light. He takes out my passenger side, but the force, because I was going so slowly, the force was tremendous. So I get hit three times. My car spins around, gets hit in the front, and spins around and gets hit on my passenger side. It was smoking. My
goodness.
Yeah. My Ford, you know, here was not holding up, and pieces fell off all over. It was so bad. And I pushed the door open, and I was like, tried to lean forward, and I'm like, I'm not moving. I can't move.
Oh,
I could not move at all. I couldn't move any of my legs, hips, feet, nothing. Nothing was moving at all. And the first thing I just said out of my mouth was, Jesus, thank you that I'm alive. Thank you that I'm alive. You know, in that moment. And
scary.
It was very scary. And then this is the part of teaching that makes you crazy, because the first person I called was my school. I don't call my husband. I don't call my kids. I'm like, somebody give me a phone. I gotta call my principal. And I was like, I don't think I'm gonna be into work today. And so that was the first thing that I called. But then the fire department came, and they're like, well, we're going to need you to, I mean, here comes the humor elements. We're going to need you to kind of help us out here and try to walk out of the car. And I'm like, I can't walk out. And so they're like, okay. So they just lift me by my arms and drag the half of my body onto the stretcher, which the pain was so tremendous. The pain was so tremendous. Oh my gosh. Neck brace, taken to the ER. Of course, they took me to the ER. My insurance didn't cover. And they're like, well, we just share which level 4 trauma we're going to today. And that's the one that's open, which was crazy. And so I was there for 10 days, and I was in rehab. So total between rehab and the hospital was 20 22 days. 22 oh days. Had no insurance, no assets. Didn't get a ticket because in our state, if the police doesn't see it, they can't ticket you. So he is living his best life.
Oh my yeah. God. That just
living his best life. Yeah. And but that's, again, that was a lesson, because Jesus taught me forgiveness there, that I don't know what was happening. I don't know what's right. going on. But he would take care of me if I forgave him, because I had a lot of anger laying there in the bed night after night after night. Mm-hmm. And I was like an infant. I couldn't get up. I couldn't even like sit up. I was just all laying down. And every night, the nerve pathways to the legs were all damaged. So I would have like seizures kind mm-hmm. of symptoms below, where no oxycodone, nothing took it. Mm. I just scream and they shut the door. And I felt bad. I was so embarrassed about that. Mm. But there was nothing, as a human, you're just raw. But I'd been through this whole cancer battle here too. So they had to, when they got me in there, I only had 33,000 platelets because I was on chemo. So mm-hmm. they had to give me blood transfusions for days. They had to bring up my platelet count. I had surgery. Like, I literally could have died, but God was there. God was there. Amazing. And there was a lot of me asking, Lord, why? Mm-hmm. Why did this happen? Why? I've been through so much. Like, mm-hmm. isn't this enough? Like,
I'd be asking the same thing. Right. I think a lot of people would.
Right. Isn't this enough? Yeah. And there was like a little bit of just, you know, I just didn't feel like praying. I was just very just numb for a little bit. But then I was like, I survived this, which was divine providence, because I should have been dead. I mm-hmm. should have been dead. It was that catastrophic of an incident. And so the miracles started again, the lesson of surrendering. And I couldn't walk at all. And the pain of those nightly seizures in the legs were nonstop. So a charismatic prayer team came out to my rehab center and they prayed over the nerves. And it never came back. Healing. The yeah. seizing pain never came back. And so, God, right there. It was mm-hmm. a miracle. I was discharged with no follow-up physical therapy because insurance and my health insurance were having a fight. So for over a month and a half, I had no physical therapy. I lied in my house with a hospital bed. I couldn't move. Couldn't turn anything. My daughter, my oldest daughter, who's 19, kind of took the heavy burden. I had to go to the bathroom on a commode next to my bed, but be a mom too, because I have a 10-year-old, the best I could. It was really rough on the humorous side. We all got very fat because I ate like takeout every single night. So my son, especially, like, Mom, at the end of the summer, I gained like 20 pounds. Like, I gotta work out. I'm like, well, you know, you and Dad, if it wouldn't kill you guys to cook, then maybe this, you wouldn't have gotten the summer takeout fatness. But since you'd rather die than lift a finger in the kitchen, this right. is how it's gonna roll, because Mama's down here. So
yeah.
Yep. What's gonna happen?
Next thing you know, you're starting your own cookbook of what to yeah. cook when you can't move.
Yeah, when you can't move. 100%.
Yeah, no, that's not gonna happen. Mm-mm,
no,
oh jeez.
No. No. But it was a miracle, because all of a sudden, like with prayer, one day I'm like, okay, Jesus, every time I'd be like, okay, Jesus, I'm gonna sit on the edge of my bed. Like, give me strength to do that. Okay, just sitting there. All right, Jesus, let's go. Let's try to just get up with Walker, just one step, and boom, it would happen. It was literally just like miracle after miracle. Then I got cleared for the foot that was broken. They're like, you can put weight on it. And the pain, oh my God, those first few weeks walking on it was undescribable. But by August, I was rolling into my classroom, like doing my gimpy walk, like through the door.
Sure.
And had a cane. And I had a cane, which was, I should not have been walking with no physical therapy, nothing. Of course, physical therapy kicked in after I had already gotten to that point. But now, September to now, things have been okay, except it all kind of started to go back downhill in October. They put me on three different things. Was the oral chemo, Avastin to starve the cells, and Keytruda, which took 2 months for the insurance to approve. So I wasn't even getting the full treatment for a whole month, which, as you know, with cancer, every day you lose time when your treatments are not lined up. And so all that window of not having the full stuff, like, I started to progress, and my numbers have just been up. And, you know, come here to December, and I've only had two Keytruda treatments, and it's underneath my whole sternum now. It's riding underneath the collarbone. I have actual nodes plus a pleural effusion in there. So it's tight on the lung, and the suffering is pretty hardcore. It's really hardcore. Coughing, fits that you just are like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it's my quality of life is so bad. My oxygenation is like running 95, 94. It's just tough to breathe. Just like, I try to get my teacher hustle on in the morning, and I like have to sit at my desk and just try to gain air support. It's just very, very difficult. I did start my first treatment of topotecan yesterday with Avastin, and I'm praying to God for a miracle. At this point, I am surrendered to whatever his will is for my life. If he wants me to carry this disease for the rest of my life, I give that to you, Lord, and I accept that. But I'm asking for my breathing to return, at least for my breathing to return. You know, I have memories I'd like to make with the kids. I'm a history teacher. Mm-hmm. I want to take, last summer we were supposed to go to France. I had the tickets, and I got smashed in a car. So I have a dream to show them history before I go home to be with my Jesus. But, you know, I got to be able to breathe, and it's bad right now, but I know God's still there. But it is the suffering, as you saw too last night. I was asking people, because I was like, okay, if so, you know, even some of my followers join with me in prayer, maybe my lung will be better. And you know what? It is better a little bit this morning. So God comes home and listens to that, and he's loving and merciful. So there it is. That's Ann Foremost. That's the story. That's it. Ovarian cancer journey.
Unbelievable. I'm speechless. What a podcast host, because I don't even know what to say. I'm really sorry to hear about the suffering. I've watched, you know, the tough times that you've had, and I wish there was something I could do. You know, I obviously, you know, we're all close. I love social media and our TikTok cancer family.
Cancer Talk is an amazing community. You got to connect with other cancer friends. Name yes. of your podcast, because yeah. it is very isolating, because from the outside, the public or movies or media, it's always, you're a warrior and you're supposed to be, you know, this kick-ass person and fight your cancer and, you know, always stay positive. And, you know, there's days I'm throwing up. I'm not positive on that day. I'm not positive.
That's okay.
Right. But, yeah. You know, society will be like, no, you've got to keep this attitude and all. I mean, sometimes some of the stuff that you see recommended too, like everybody's got advice, you know, everybody's got a million pieces of advice for you. Mm-hmm. They're going around, they don't have cancer, but it's like, try some dog dewormer, or you need to do this, or take this supplement, or try this stuff, or, you know, like everybody's got advice. One person at work was like, you know, the problem is I notice you're on the heavier side, so you need to cut your sugar. You need to cut your sugar.
Wow, and that's been a long-standing thing about sugar.
Okay. Yeah. Because I just eat boxes of ding-dongs and ho-hos, so you got me. You found me out.
Guilty.
That's it. Sure. You know, you're able to know all that without even knowing me over here. So, yeah, okay.
Well,
it's
and
just a judgment.
I'll tell you how I handle that stuff.
Okay.
Since my diagnosis, I have decided that, well, by the way, I was diagnosed with anxiety and stress.
That's women.
Well, the 10 months before my 22 centimeter tumor mm-hmm. was discovered. Mm-hmm. But anyways, but to a doctor's credit, I do believe sincerely that stress can really wear out our bodies, and we're fighting enough as it is. So mm-hmm. I live a stress-free life as much as I can. Can you 100%? Of course not.
No,
but it's
the
little things like dog dewormer. And
Yeah.
For me, I have to really focus, and this is a couple years now of practice, but I can tune that stuff out so quickly. Like, there is no time for that.
No,
we're going to focus on only, you know, positivity. We've all heard the phrase toxic positivity.
Yep.
At the same time, you got to make room
to
focus on
pile.
The hard stuff and not dog dewormer. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Did you ever try it? I don't know.
It just makes me laugh more than anything. And the advice, like, I had another colleague that was like, you know, this is a pretty stressful environment for you to be teaching, and no duh, but I'm like, but they're like, so I think that you should quit your job and just go on Social Security. That way you have at least a peaceful existence before you die. I'm like, why would someone say that to someone mm-hmm. else, first of all? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I want to have no health insurance. Thanks. That was a mm-hmm. great suggestion. So I lose all my health insurance, being mm-hmm. the sickest in my life. Like, everybody has a piece of advice that is so mean. I'm like, what's with this? So yeah, you can't take that on. You just have to be like, you know, like, life is very much like, here's the pile of things that are great. Here's the recycle. Maybe there's some pieces in there.
Right.
The true trash. And so it's got to go in the trash pile for sure.
Go, girl. Well, mm-hmm. I love the idea of your trip. You know, it sounds so fantastic. And I am going to pray that you guys get to France as soon as possible.
I'm trying this summer so much to do it one more time. I was like, you know what? God shut the door the last time. And if he doesn't want us to do it again, then we'll just, it is what it is. But I'm going to try. We are a Catholic family. And so we were trying to go to Lourdes as well. And I, you know, ironically, I had volunteered there when I was younger, and I did four different times working with the sick, not knowing later in my life that I myself would be the suffering person. And so there was a reason for that too. I want to return as I am now, but also to have my two older kids serve the sick there as well. So that was kind of a part of our goal, was both spiritual, historical.
Mm-hmm.
My son loves history as much as I do.
That's nice.
We're history dorks together.
Love
my daughter,
it.
I've tried, but just cannot convert her to the historical ways. But maybe that would do that. and just have that sweet time as family to make those memories, you know.
Yes,
those memories are so precious. So I'm just praying, God, if it is your will, if this is your will, and this is your an okay thing to be able to have that experience as a family this summer, to get the breathing. I just to get this breathing back, but also to have the breath of God in me to do his work. Mm-hmm. I have felt more called to ministry, and I want to be able to preach the gospel more, but I have to have breath to do that. And right. so these are all the things in 2024. Everybody's the word of the year, you know, like, what's your word of the year? And I really feel mine is commissioned, because I'm going through devastating stuff, hard stuff. But in that, there's a work there on a bigger level. There's mm-hmm. the work with my kids, my students, and my own children, which is a part of a commission or a vocation. Mm-hmm. But there's also a work to bring others to know the strength, the Philippians 4:13, strength of Christ, that you can do all things through him who strengthens you. A lot of times people will say to cancer warriors, like, you got so much strength, and you're a warrior, and you're so tough. But every true cancer friend knows we don't have any strength. There are days you feel kicked down to the floor. You can't get up. Like, to sit is an accomplishment. But somehow, through Philippians 4:13, which is a prayer, really, you can have the strength of Christ. Like, I can't do this, but the strength of Christ can. So it's your strength, Lord, let's go. He pulls you through. And so that is really the message I want to share with others as well.
I'm really glad you're here to share that with all the listeners, because you've had so much good information, and God has put us together to have this opportunity and keep going on that TikTok too. Do you have any idea how many people you help by just talking about this?
It's I have no idea, easy. Kathy. I just, you know, that kind of just started organically, and then, you know, it started just to get through the pandemic, and then I got cancer, and then I became cancer person. So,
yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm just sharing this journey, you know, to really just show awareness, one, because ovarian cancer, as well as even with pancreatic cancer, we're mm-hmm. that silent killer
yeah.
group, right? And are often missed very much by medical teams. I feel our diseases are not silent, because there's yeah. stuff going on, but they just kind of, you know, kind of blow it off. So just giving awareness, hey, you know, especially for women, when you go to an annual screening, they're not checking you for ovarian, uterine, fallopian. They're not checking you for those cancers. A lot of women had misconceptions that they were already being screened for these, and you're not. You're only screened for cervical and breast, and that's it. That's another part of this too. I've written all my congressional leadership that for women's healthcare, we need more complete screening of a transvaginal ultrasound, which you can do in the office, you know, mm-hmm. like every 2 years or something like that, would save lives.
Yeah.
It's the fifth largest killer of women is ovarian cancer. But yet they're like, oh yeah, 5-year survival rate. We can't check. We can't screen. We just don't know what's happening. I don't buy that. So they could do more.
Yeah, always more. And I know with the silent killer. Yeah, I know what you're saying. They say that all the time about pancreatic. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've heard that about ovarian as well. Mm-hmm. So why do I always feel like sometimes, I mean, my first appointment with my oncologist was curtains, you know, you're done.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see what sticks for chemo, but yeah, I'm sorry, it's, you know, not going to work out for you.
So Kathy, but, where is your disease right now at?
Well, I, I'm kind of a miracle. I am. Not kind of.
Yeah.
I am.
No, you are. Yeah.
Yeah. I was diagnosed a lot like you in the OR. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, ER.
ER. Yeah.
Sorry, OR, ER, friends, whatever.
Cancer friends and ER friends. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, months and months of agony, and finally, yeah, I'm going in and CAT scan. Yeah. Yeah, you got a huge tumor. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And curtains. Yeah. Plan my funeral. Blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And I got on immunotherapy, a trial drug of immunotherapy. Okay. I have an unusual amount of genetic mutations in my tumor.
Okay.
And so miraculously, the immunotherapy decimated my tumor.
Oh,
and
praise I've been stable. God.
Yeah, I've been stable with pancreatic cancer for 4 years. Well, March will be 4 years.
I've got goosebumps. Like, literally.
Tell me about it. It's crazy. And that's where my inspiration comes to do this and, you know, talk to people. I mean, just my heart goes out to everybody, and God gives you a second chance like this. It's mm-hmm. like, I just want to be there for people because it's like, it's so hard.
That's the work.
I was laughing at your surgery story because mm-hmm. I was supposed to have surgery. I was always inoperable. The disease is in my arteries and things, but now it's mm-hmm. shrunk so much. I still can't get it out of my arteries, but I can get it out of like my pancreas. So I was supposed to have a pretty major surgery.
Right.
On
it's a Whipple. January isn't it a Whipple 10th. Procedure?
It is not. Because my tumor was located on the tail, mine becomes a pancreatectomy and a splenectomy. So the Whipple is when your tumor is like on the head of the pancreas, because that's more by your colon or guts or all your other stuff that they have. There's a lot more slice and dice with that. Sorry. But mine, they'll just remove half my pancreas and my spleen and mm-hmm. whatever other goodies they find. But I was supposed to have that done on January 10th, but we all got COVID.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my husband and I got COVID rebound, if you've ever heard of that.
So you took the medicine and then it came right back. Yeah.
Yeah. We had like several days of being fine, tested negative, symptoms were gone.
Oh, my gosh.
And like the next week, symptoms positive.
Oh my gosh.
So I am finally over that, and so I'm rescheduled for February 12th to have that major surgery.
Well, all of our listeners can pray for you.
I love it. Thank you.
Yes, and I definitely will too, and also communicate that to my followers, because it's really important to just wrap around all of our cancer friends when we go through things like that with the extra prayer, for sure.
Yeah. So I am an odd duck when it comes to this mm-hmm. disease, with just oddities and never seen before, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. But I could probably just coast on by being stable with this this kind of dead tumor. We've tested it seems to be like scar tissue at this point. But I also have some active neuroendocrine tumors on my pancreas. So it's
that's
crazy.
Where the surgery will help with some of that.
Let's just get it out, get it done. Mm-hmm. And I want to see the pathology on this, because a true medical miracle, 100%. In my opinion.
That is a miracle big time, because my mom had pancreatic cancer. So I know the ins and out of how this functions.
Yeah.
And so definitely, and you have work to do. And I think getting this going is great. You know, having the social media presence is really important, just to, you know, really rally around and be strengthened prayer warriors for each other.
I know. It's the silver lining of being diagnosed with something mm-hmm. so devastating mm-hmm. is it's the people we meet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, for me, it's just been unexplainable. And at times I've wanted to, like, oh, you know, should I stop the podcast? I don't know. Or, yeah. You know, and then I hear a story of somebody, you know, really benefiting from it, or mm-hmm. just my own feeling of meeting people and how wonderful it really is and comforting, and just your knowledge, sharing this valuable information. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's going to save people. It's going to help people through it. So thank you. I really
want to save women's lives, that you're not crazy. You're not alone. Just continue to push until you get into the right hands. And if you can get to a national cancer center, because ovarian is so specialized, it will literally save your life. And mm-hmm. I can't advocate enough. I want to take all my ovarian sisters and just hug them and drive them to the centers, because yes. I see it happening all the time. When we're looking at TikTok, you know, an ovarian sister be like, I don't have any options left. I was told I don't have any options. I'm just stopping treatment. And I'm like, no, you know, unless that's what you want to do. But I mean, we've got people with kids like myself. My youngest is 10. To lose a mother that early, like, there's got to be more fight with this. There's got to be more screening with this. Like, save us. You're letting women die out here because you don't want to do a regular vaginal ultrasound as part of a checkup. That's something you can all advocate for. You know,
I know it is a major problem in this country with healthcare. It's the same with scans and this and that. You know, I was lucky enough to have scans all the time. I kind of half joke that I'm going to get cancer from all the scans, but you know, being on a trial, that was the gig. They needed to do that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're pretty cheap. Well, I know when I was going through reporting all of my illness and symptoms, they didn't even, I had to go to the ER to get my CAT scan to find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. It was in the ER. That's where they found what they found.
Yes.
And why? Why the ER? Like, I had been in normal offices all up to this point. I went to my annual women's health checks all the time since having my children. And, you know, they didn't even have to do a vaginal ultrasound. If they would have just done a cancer marker, pull a cancer marker check, it would have shown up there, but nothing. It was always a conversation. Yes, as you have mentioned, stress does cause or set up your body to be more prone to autoimmune disorders or cancers. But to always default to that. We have a lot to overcome in our country of how women are approached in a clinical setting, especially, you know, after you've had some kids and you're in your late 30s, 40s, like really from that point on, it's like, you know, it's like right away you get that approach, like, how's your stress? You know, I mean, it's like always defaults there.
But anxiety, I mean, yeah, it can cause some things, but not to the extreme you and I had. Where you're crashing on a mountain. I was like, I remember the day I went in, because I just laid on the couch. I'm like, I cannot do this anymore. Mm-hmm, I cannot live like this. I cannot walk. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. I was so exhausted. I have lost, like, I don't know, 50, 60 pounds. Oh, that's anxiety. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been overweight my whole life. It's anxiety, right? I'm like, I'm really liking all these new clothes choices, but.
And that's adds another bit of humor, because when you do lose that weight, then you start getting compliments, and it's like, I'm dying of cancer. And people are like, you look good.
I know.
You look good.
I can't even go there. I can't even go there, because that is the one depression of survival for me. Yeah. I mean, like, I with survival, the weight is just came all back, and You know, which tells me I'm sure my body's possessed. It's so much. It's like I'm not in control anymore.
Right.
But anyways, I know.
When my cancer is really raging, I drop all this weight, and it's like, oh, you look so good, but so yeah, you must be fine. And I'm like, it's not going that well. When I'm little plump teacher, I'm feeling better. So let me have my fat and I know I'm in a good place at that point.
I know. I remember going and trying on clothes and I'm like, there is no way this is going to fit me. The last time I wore this size was in, you know, seventh grade, and I'd put it on and it was baggy, and I'd be like, there is something wrong with me. Yeah. What is going on? It was chilling.
But then because I know with my mom that the weight loss with pancreatic was one of the big red flags that happened. And I remember she went into the doctor and they were like, oh, good job. Good job. You've lost this weight. That's so great. And she's like, but I'm not doing anything like special. And it's like, well, you've done something. So good job. And it was cancer. It was pancreatic cancer. Ugh. Like, how do they train these people?
I know. That's exactly. Oh, I remember my doctor saying, look at your blood pressure. It's great. But I'm dying inside. Well, my heart's not going to do me much good with this pancreatic cancer tumor.
I'm like, the pancreatic cancer diet is just not the new health rage here to try. You know?
It is not. I don't recommend it.
Yeah. Get back in that dress size. You can look good.
Oh my God. And I did actually, but no.
Yeah.
Oh, like, you gotta laugh. Yeah.
Some days was okay. But that's the full story, Kathy, and that's where we're at.
Well, I'm blown away by you. I just admire you and I pray for you.
Thank you.
I thank you. I'm overwhelmed. With gratitude for you to take your precious time and share it with us today.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kathy, so much for inviting me on your awesome podcast. I look forward to listening to it as well.
Yeah.
And I even encourage you, if you want to share the video at some point or on some platform, to do that also. I feel comfortable with that because I think, you know, it's good for people to see that cancer patients are real people with real faces. We're alive.
Yes.
We're trying to just do our thing and be human and live life and love our families and our kids. I think you mentioned your youngest was 9.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's my one and only, our little girl. And that's another hard topic with cancer, our kids. And she was just 5 when I was diagnosed. Yep. So, you know, it was mommy's got a bump in her tummy. Now it's, you know, it's the times are changing and how to talk to her about it. And
Nobody
gave me the handbook on that.
No, there's no handbook. There's no guidebook. Definitely nothing really there. My youngest is 10. And so she was 7 when I was diagnosed. So for their memories, it seems, because you kind of don't really start remembering until when you're like in that 7, 8, 9, 10, it's like every day, all they've ever known is mommy being sick and, you know, trying to have them adapt around that. I know that my daughter, for example, when she's gone to school and they go to a Christian school, but when she's like, hey, can you pray for my mom? Another kid said to her, you know, I told my mom that your mom had it. And she said, well, ovarian cancer, you die right away. So why are we wasting all this time praying for your mom all the time? And I was like, oh my God, this is supposed to be a Christian school.
Ugh.
And this is the attitude. But society has, that's just reflection of kind of their views on cancer in general, especially if you're walking around with the silent killers. You know, that we can't we can't live full lives, and we can't, you know, live with the cancer or, you know, parent.
Right.
But that's not true.
I agree. And I agree.
Also, 100%. It limits God too. Like, he's in a little box and can't handle these situations. I mean, he made the stars and the mountains and the oceans. My cancer should be no problem.
So, right. I'm right. Like,
got this. We're okay.
For sure.
Yeah. So it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to say, though, that we're going to be okay, even if we're not okay.
Right. Because, you know, we have a higher purpose and calling.
Yeah. So that's funny about, not funny, haha, but
yeah,
your daughter's friend at the school. When I was first diagnosed, Willow was going to pre-K at our church school, Catholic church school. And a little kid came up to me and said, "My mom said you're going to die right away." You're going to die soon. Or she said, "Die soon. You're going to die soon." Well, you know.
What's with these other moms telling their kids, like, "Oh, that's really bad. She's done, though." I mean, like,
you're supposed to
be a Christian family.
I know, but
like, offer realistically, casserole or something. At least that. But
well, I can't even.
To help us out.
I can't begin to tell you what they did for us. That's another day, but they were the most loving and supportive group of people I've ever known. And to be realistic, the kid wasn't wrong. I really was supposed to. So
it was tough. It was tough. And I think that's a whole nother issue to even think about is, you know, our faith communities and how they respond to you when you have cancer. Is I think a big part of it. You know, it took a while for mine to get
on. No.
Like, as a Catholic, you will appreciate the importance of getting, you know, when you're going through surgeries and procedures, to get that, you know, sacrament of the sick and to be prayed over. Like, that's a thing. And even in Protestant communities, to have your pastor accessible to do that, to pray for you. And it took mine 2 years.
Oh, oops, oopsie doops.
Like, geez. What happened there? It shouldn't be such a chore, you know.
Right.
Come on.
But yeah.
This is kind of people go through this.
Go through this. I think we could go on for days.
That's right. That's right. Got a lot of commonalities in here.
We really do.
Appreciate you giving the space to just share our journeys. And
I'm really happy to do it.
Yeah, and just share the good too, because we haven't walked it alone. And we know Philippians 4:13 that Christ has carried us through all of it. And I feel like we got a journey ahead. You've got surgery. I'm new treat all this stuff. There's journeys ahead, but we're covered and blessed. And so we can proceed with that confidence.
Ugh, I love it. And I can't tell you how good I feel right now. You just boosted me right up.
Thank you so much, Kathy. And I had a tough night last night.
I know.
I was just like, oh my God, I'm coughing so bad. It was so bad, but you know, God came through for this morning. So I'm just so
I'm so grateful for that. And I know you were up because I have insomnia and I was up. It was 4 a.m. my time. And there you are messaging me at 1 o'clock your time. And I'm like, oh, well, I might as well just respond to this. And then I thought, I really didn't want you to feel like you had to do this if you needed some extra rest, because you come first.
It was
you
a blessing. It was a blessing. So thank you so much. And
all
God
right,
be
hon.
With you, and
you,
take
you
care.
As well. You thank as well. Have a wonderful weekend, and take
God bless
good care. You too.
God bless you, Kathy. Bye.
Bye-bye, hon.
Thank you, Anne, for being such a special part of Hello Cancer Friends. When I meet someone like you, it just reminds me how blessed I am to be a vessel for you to share your story, your knowledge, your kindness,
all of those good things, your awareness. I know in my heart that you are helping so many people. I can't thank you enough. You're always welcome to come back anytime. And I know we will not run out of things to talk about. So, listeners, get on TikTok. You need to find Anne and follow her because she's really fun to watch. I mean, it's heartbreaking. Obviously, cancer isn't all fun and games. We know that. But when you're facing something really, really hard and you're able to kind of turn it around in a different way and have that special mix of just being real, I love following Anne, and I think you would too. So if you're on TikTok, it's capital A space S space K. Ask, like ask a question. Look her up. You will not be disappointed. I will have her TikTok information on my website as well. Which brings me to, if you'd like to share your story, you could go to my website for that too. And that website is hellocancerfriends.com. There's a comment section. Reach out to me. I'd love, love, love to hear from you. Well, one down, one episode down, and we'll see how many to go. As I mentioned in the podcast, my surgery was rescheduled to February, so I'll probably take a little bit time off after that. I'll be back just as soon as I can be. Until then, take good care. Bye-bye.